Sometimes when we've been walking with God for a while and the going gets a bit tough, there's a temptation to think to ourselves, well, you know what? God, you owe me. It's time for you to show up. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and thanks for joining me again this week on Christianity Works. Today we're heading into the final message in this series called God's Mightiest Works in Your Wilderness, as we take a look at the third temptation that the devil dished up to Jesus out there in that wilderness. So let's dive into God's Word, and please stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send you to help you stay strong and to defeat the devil each and every time he comes knocking at your door. Well, welcome to this last message in a four-part series that I've called Discovering the Hidden Things of God. See, the things that God does in our lives, well, they just don't always make sense. The Apostle Paul writes about the mystery of his will in Jesus Christ. You can read that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Often how we feel about God, we like to have everything figured out, everything in its neat little box, everything under control, including God, right? We just do. But God tells us about himself through the prophet Isaiah, that his thoughts aren't our thoughts, and his ways aren't our ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways, and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. God's plans and purposes for us are often hidden, and they don't make sense all the time to our human understanding. When we go through a difficult time in life, we struggle with that. We wail to God. We say, God, how can you let this happen to me? God, how long will this go on, oh God? Or we rebuke the devil because we should be living in victory. This shouldn't be happening to us. And I guess struggling with those difficult times and trying to understand where God is and what his purpose is and having our reactions, they're all really normal human responses. And if you read the book of Job over and over again, he said, God, why are you letting this happen to me? And yet, the wilderness experience is an integral part of God's plan for our lives. Let me say it again. The wilderness experience is an integral part of God's plan for our lives. Let's just let that sink in for a minute. Over these last few weeks, we've been spending time in the wilderness, in the desert, with Jesus. There's an amazing kind of juxtaposition or contrast between when he has his public baptism on the one hand and the heavens open up and the dove descends down on him and God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And then God picks him up and throws him out into the wilderness, into this profound, vulnerable experience where he's tempted by the devil. You see, the problem with this wilderness experience is that it doesn't fit with our worldly image of success. I mean, if we're in God's will, shouldn't everybody be applauding? I mean, have a look. Here's the account from Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 13, of Jesus' baptism. Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him, saying, I'm the one that needs to be baptized by you, and you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so for now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove upon him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now just think about that for a moment. Is that success or what? You go to be baptized, you're coming up out of the water, the heavens open up, God speaks, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And then straight after that, we pick it up in Luke's account, Luke chapter 4, verse 1. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was then led by the Spirit out into the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. In Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 1, he doesn't say Jesus was led out by the Spirit. He says Jesus was thrown out into the desert by the Spirit. We spent some time over the last few weeks getting our minds around that. It's part of God's plan for our lives that we pass through the wilderness. And no, it's not going to be an air-conditioned bus on the way to a 5-star resort with a swimming pool. It's on foot, it's alone, with only the devil there to tempt us. And invariably, you know, it's the things that other people don't see or understand. It's hidden away. We travel this path on our own. I remember listening to a great preacher, Joyce Meyer, speaking once, and she said, you know, people come up to me and say, you've got a wonderful and successful ministry, and they all say, oh, how wonderful. And I remember her saying, these people have no idea what I've had to go through, the trials and the difficulties and the people who came against her and the sheer hard work and the endurance. She said it was so hard starting up this ministry. And I have to tell you, that was such a great encouragement to me, because it was exactly the same for my wife Jackie and I in I guess, re-establishing this ministry of Christianity Works. And people don't have any idea of the trials and the opposition and the temptations that you go through, because they're part of God's plan. Yet you don't get to see that in my life. I don't get to see the things that God has you traveling through in your life. One of our team, Joseph Kebbe in Africa, the things that that man has been through for the sake of the gospel, people have no idea. But today, through his perseverance and effort and faithfulness, millions of people across Africa hear this program. See, it happened to Jesus, it happens to you, it happens to me. It's the same thing. We all have to travel through that. And you know, when these trials and temptation come, it's a good time to remember this and to cooperate with God. Over the last couple of weeks, we looked at the first two temptations that Jesus was faced with in the desert. The first one was the one that we call the logical seduction. The devil said, well, if you're the Son of God and you've been starving for 40 days, why don't you turn these stones into bread? And Jesus was starving. He was famished. It was the obvious thing to do, to end his suffering in his own strength, apart from God. And he responded, no, I'm not going to do that. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. He refused to take things into his own hands apart from God. The second temptation that we looked at last week was the one that we called the compelling delusion. The devil waves under Jesus' nose all the kingdoms of this world. And he says, they'll all be yours if you worship me. Wow, worldly success and acclamation and all those kingdoms. But instead of chasing after that, Jesus says, no, I will worship God alone. I would rather stay here in the desert starving than worship the devil and chase after all those worldly things. See, these are the hidden things of God. God tests us and we discover what really, really matters. These temptations are all about who comes first, our needs or God. We discover the hidden things, the deeper things in our relationship with him, being tempted out there in the wilderness by the devil. That's what the wilderness is all about. That's why he takes us there. That's why he seems to kind of throw us out there and dump us there and let the devil tempt us. God wants to go so much deeper with us than the superficiality of this world. Well, today is our last day out in the wilderness there with Jesus, and we're going to look at the last of the three temptations, a temptation that Douglas Webster in his book Under the Radar calls the Great Performance. I'm Bernie Diamond and you're listening to Christianity Works. As we take this short break, I'd like to tell you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send you to help you draw even closer to God. It's called Fresh, a short daily devotional, a scripture verse with some words of inspiration, hope and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet or computer each day. You can read to it, listen to the audio or watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. God's Word, fresh for you each day. It's completely free, and to get instant access, just stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see the Fresh devotional sign up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a free copy of the ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address, in case you missed it, is ChristianityWorks.com. So go on, go ahead, sign up to receive fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through His Word. Now, it's so easy, isn't it, after you've been slogging away through life, trying to honor God, trying to serve God the best you can, to start thinking to yourself, you know, God owes me something. It's about time for a reward, for a payday, and that's what this third temptation that the devil dished up to Jesus in the wilderness is all about. You know, we all need encouragement and validation. When we're travelling down a certain path in life, it's great when somehow people confirm that we're on the right track. Someone looks at the career you've chosen and they say to you, gee, you're doing so well at that. Doesn't that feel good? And so often, we want God to confirm that we've chosen the right path too. It'd be great to have His confirmation, His encouragement. But sometimes at those times, He remains silent. Have you noticed that? Sometimes when I want the Lord to confirm that I'm on the right path, He just doesn't say anything. And you know, when we're walking in faith, putting it all on the line for God, gee, it'd be really nice for Him to show up and whisper, well done, good and faithful servant. Keep going. And yet He chooses so often to remain silent. And at those times, it can be a real wilderness experience. Why does He do that? What's going on? Well, as I said before the break, we like to live life on the surface, recognition and success and wealth and comfort. But God wants to go so much deeper with us, much deeper, way below the surface. And we saw how Jesus at His baptism was in the middle of the river of God, and then immediately following that, He was thrown out into the desert, and He's starving for 40 days. And today I'm going to look at the third temptation, something that Douglas Webster in his book Under the Radar calls the Great Performance. Let's have a read. If you have a Bible, go and grab it. We're going to read Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. The devil led Jesus to Jerusalem and had Him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, He said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. But Jesus answered, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Douglas Webster's book Under the Radar is a brilliant book. If you can get a hold of it, it's really worth a read. And he puts his finger right on what's happening here when he writes this. He says the career path for Christian leaders is marked by the cross, an incentive that doesn't have much crossover appeal into the corporate world or our postmodern society. Self-denial is a difficult concept to translate into today's leadership literature. The path leading to the cross is far more humbling than it is heroic, yet all true leaders are led along that path. But the temptation to avoid the path to the cross by trying to achieve something great for God confronts us as it did Jesus. We're tempted to escape the cross with our spiritual pride intact. We want to feel enthusiastic about Jesus whilst avoiding the way of Jesus. See, these temptations, and in particular this last temptation, is to avoid the way of the cross. It's to say, well, I'm going to see if I can get God to dance to my tune rather than me following faithfully after Him. So that's the temptation. You get to a point when you've been walking with God for a while and you get to figuring, well, God, you know something? I've earned something. I've earned some shortcuts. I want you to do a miracle for me. It's time for you, God, to validate me. It's time for you to say, you're heading down the right path. You're special to me. And so we get to asking God for something impossible. Not for the right reasons, not because we want to serve Him and bring Him glory, but for Him to validate that we're something special. See, we get it the wrong way round. We want God to start serving us rather than us serving Him. We turn the tables on God. This temptation is about turning the creator-creature relationship on its head and putting us on top of the heap. And that is why Jesus names it for what it is. Putting God to the test. You know, growing older is great as long as it involves growing wiser, and wisdom in God's economy starts and ends with one thing. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." In other words, wisdom is based on a right relationship with God. He's Lord. To believe in Jesus is to follow Jesus. He's not only the truth, he's the way. It's one of the hidden things of God that in the wilderness that we discover who we are under pressure, hungry and tired, and the devil pulls alongside and he tempts us to provide for ourselves or to chase after worldly success or to make God our servant rather than our Lord. These are the hidden things of God we discover in the wilderness. It's what humility and persistence and prayer is. In the wilderness, we discover who's Lord. And that's a special, special time. Have a look at this temptation once again. The devil leads Jesus to Jerusalem and has him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you're the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up on their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone.'" Where does the devil take Jesus? To Jerusalem, to the temple, to the place where God lives, to the center of the understanding of who God was and where he was, up to the highest point. This is spectacular. You've reached the pinnacle. You're the Son of God. Now go on, put God to the test. Make God your servant. And Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" God wants us out there in the wilderness being tempted by the devil to have a right understanding of who he is, the King and the Lord of all. And it's so easy for us to warp that and to morph that so that God is someone who does as I tell him to do. It's something he lets us discover in the wilderness. What's more important, success or honoring him?
I'm Bernie Diamond and you're listening to Christianity Works. I just want to take a moment during this short break to share something truly important with you. When you find yourself in the midst of a wilderness experience, when the devil's out there tempting you mercilessly, God means to give you victory. In fact, he already has. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called Defeating the Devil in the Wilderness. It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you live out the victory that you already have in Jesus Christ. To request your free copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. It really is that easy. But this is the very last week that this particular booklet will be available, so don't miss out. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Now, when the devil seems to be putting a blowtorch to your feet, and it does feel like that sometimes, doesn't it? It's easy to wonder to yourself, what the blazes is God doing? God, why are you letting this happen to me? Well, what is God doing, and why is he letting this happen to you? Let's take a look.
I love discovering the hidden things of God. And so far in this series, we've discovered four things. Firstly, that the wilderness is an essential part of God's plan for our lives. It's not there to fight at, but we need to cooperate with him. Firstly, the wilderness is an essential part of God's plan for our lives. Yeah, so often we fight with it, but instead we need to cooperate with him as he takes us out there and allows the devil permission to tempt us. And then in that first temptation, we saw that, well, it's not our job to end our suffering in our own strength. It's our job to rely on God. That's what the first temptation was all about. The second temptation was to chase after worldly success rather than staying out there in the desert, no matter what the cost, and honoring God, the compelling delusion. And finally, the third temptation that we just looked at before the break is ultimately about turning the tables on God and to have him perform a trick to test him to validate who we are. You know, each of these hidden things that we discover about God and ourselves, what are they about? They're about putting God first. He puts us out there in the desert, in the furnace, and cleanses us through the fire. John the Baptist put it this way. He said, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than me will come, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So that's what the wilderness is about. It's that fire. And the devil is a blowtorch in the hand of God, used by him, the great craftsman, to forge our character. We should never get the idea that the devil is somehow equal to God, sort of two equal and opposite forces of good and evil in the universe. No, if you have your faith in Jesus Christ, the devil has to ask God for permission before he can come and tempt you. Look at Job chapter 1. Look what the devil said to God. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears me and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? Haven't you blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land? But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Satan had to ask permission to go and tempt Job. Satan is God's creation. He's God's tool. He's subject to God. And it's God's decision to take us out there in the wilderness sometimes and to allow the devil to tempt us. Our decision is how we respond. We can struggle and fight, or we can give in or give up, or just quietly live through it as much as it hurts. Each time the devil comes after us with a meat cleaver, standing firm against him, choosing well will make the devil depart. Look at what happens to Jesus. Luke chapter 4, verse 13. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time, and Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. See, he suffered, but he withstood. And when he withstood, the devil fled. Now, of course he'd return. You see his hand as he swayed the mob, as he thought he had victory when Jesus was crucified. He'll always return to fight another day, a day when we open the door, or a day when once again we find ourselves out there in the wilderness, weak and vulnerable like Jesus. Listen to how James puts it in James chapter 4, verse 7. "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve and mourn and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." We humble ourselves and submit ourselves to God, and we resist the devil, he will flee from us. If we humble ourselves before God, he will lift us up. These are the hidden things of God. He's not interested in our worldly success. He's interested in our hearts. He's looking for people to worship him with a humble heart, because it's in that place that we experience him to the full. As he purifies our hearts out there in the wilderness, he opens the door for us to draw closer to him, and that is what this is all about. That's why Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." That's the end game. That's what God has for us. That's where the joy is, and that's what the wilderness is about. When it seems as though God has deserted us, the only person that's out there is the devil to accuse us. Actually, in that wilderness, the Spirit of God is there. And at each turn, at each accusation, at each hurt and loss and pain and hardship, when we quietly and resolutely look the Lord in the eye and say, "You know something, Lord, I don't care what the world throws at me or what the devil comes and tempts me with. I don't care how lovely and wonderful and tempting all those things look. I'm just going to stand out here in the wilderness and wait on you and trust in you and hope in you, because you alone are my God. You alone are my Lord. I don't live by bread alone, but I live by every word that comes from your mouth. I will worship you and serve you alone, and I will not put you to the test. For you alone are my Lord, and I will stand completely alone in the midst of this wasteland for you, no matter what the cost." When God has us in that place, when we humble ourselves before God and we resist the devil, then God will lift us up. Then God will fill us with his glory and his joy, and in that place we will discover the hidden things of God.
Well, that's pretty much all we have time for today. But before I go, there's something very important that I need to share with you. Our passion here at Christianity Works is to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer in a rich, dynamic, powerful relationship with Jesus. That's exactly the sort of relationship that I pray you'll be living in with the Lord. So let me encourage you to check out the treasure trove of practical, relevant, and life-changing Bible teaching available at our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. It's full of free resources to help you draw closer to God. So dive into the Media Lounge and watch our weekly Christianity Works TV broadcast or the daily fresh devotional videos. Everything's been conveniently categorized so that you can filter the content to quickly lay hold of the teaching that you need for what you're going through today. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact on your life, to bring you his joy, his peace, and his power. So go on, head across to our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time next week, with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.